I want to thank my good friend, Reverend Dean Mercado, for asking me to share. And what I'm going to share tonight is, with God, all things are possible. And if you really have paid attention, that's what you're all here for, right? The Word. I know you're here for the fellowship, too, and you see friends maybe you haven't seen, and those you hang out with all the time. But if you've paid attention to the teachings, there's that thread of what I'm going to share. And you know, I told Dean, I said, when he made it available for some of us to share and ask us, I thought, you know, I'm just going to share records that I love. So it's a little selfish tonight, but my heart's really full with joy with seeing God do stuff, not only in the Bible, you know, when we read it, but also in all our lives. We've seen it. We've seen God do stuff for all of us. I mean, the way we started as born-again believers, even if you were raised in the Word, at some point you decided, right? Romans 10:9. You started off your life with, like, super-duper above the natural senses deal. You know what I mean? You believe something that, by the senses, is silly. That God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and that he's Lord of your life. You know, that's, and what does it say? That you're saved. That's it. God doesn't lie. And it's so great. So that's how we started our lives as believers. So, you know, the impossible already happened. It's not something that's far beyond your reach. It already happened when you became born again, right? Yeah. And one thing I want to point out, well, there's going to be a few things. Oh, I got a couple disclaimers. I'm going to read some statements, but I'm also going to say that I'm a geek for, like, meanings of words. So sometimes I may jump around and give you quick meanings, but you can look it up yourself, especially now with apps and stuff like that. Whether it's Olive Tree, whether it's Blue Letter Bible, you can look up what these words mean. And if you're not sure how to do it, you know, ask somebody who may know how to do it or know how to study God's Word. It's really simple, and it's more and more at our fingertips. And the other thing I want to point out is, you know, who likes to read, like really likes to read? All right, okay, that's honest, right? One thing about God's Word is you should just enjoy reading it. I never liked reading when I was younger. I was more of an artist. But once I started seeing how God is, how he works, how his word just beautifully, beautifully, the timing of God, why he says stuff, where he says it, what he doesn't say, you know, the timing of how he works. When you start seeing that, you'll enjoy reading the Bible. And when you get to that place where you really enjoy it, you see a lot more in the word. And it's not just here. It's not just knowledge. It's meant to be lived. It's meant to be where we're walking out. What is the theme of this weekend?
Believing.
When you walk out and do it, guess what you're doing? Believing. Luke 1. We'll start off with a young lady who believed. And for centuries, God was waiting for a woman to believe. A young lady, not even a woman, by the way. I don't remember how old she was, but she was definitely a young girl. And a lot of you girls are pretty young. Imagine you being in her shoes, which is Mary. Luke 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Yeah, we'll get there. And you know, the other thing while I flip the pages here, if you need to get up, please get up. You know, get up in the back so you could pay attention. But here in verse 37, such a dynamic, dynamic scripture because of who she mothered. Verse 37, it says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to what? Thy word, thy word." And the angel departed from her. And if you read the context, basically there was a lot going on. There was John the Baptist, Elizabeth, who was John the Baptist's mother, things happening there, God working with that. And then an angel appearing unto Mary, telling him, you're going to have the Savior, basically, you know. And her response was, verse 38, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. You know, when we're believing God's word, just like Mary did here, you're believing whose word? God's word, not our word, you know. So one thing that you have to remember when it comes to all this stuff with the word and believing is a decision and desire, two D's, you know, remember that, decision, desire. Sometimes it just takes a simple decision that you're going to believe God. It takes that desire. And sometimes they go hand in hand. I don't think you could say, well, if you know, this comes first, that comes second. It's just you. Sometimes it's instantaneous in that moment. You just have the desire and you just decide, I'm going to believe God. That's it. I'm going to, you know, live my life on the edge of a cliff, or, you know, but you know what I mean, where you just can walk out, and don't do this by the senses, by the way, you might get hurt, but you could walk out and it'd be like God's just going to hold you. That's believing. That's trust and confidence in what God says. And another thing in all the records we're going to look at, or most of them that I'm going to share, the manifestations are definitely present. And just enjoy reading the word, believing it, and like Patty shared so eloquently, you know, put it in your heart. Allow that to seep into your heart. And that's a great thing. So go to Psalm 40. During the teaching, I'm going to highlight a couple things. We're going to go to some scripture where I'm going to highlight kind of the process of this. Psalm 40, verse 5. Now, when it comes to God and his word and believing, you just got to remember God's nature, God's ability. I mean, we've heard it in 3 or 4 or 5, 20 different ways, even in the manifestations. Remember his ability to work. Remember that he wants his word to be believed. He wants you to believe his word and to trust him. So he's going to work. He's going to do whatever it takes. And this is one verse that I just love that really just shows who you're dealing with, which is our Father, God. Verse 5 of Psalm 40. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. Think about that. He's done, like, you know, when Dean spoke the word to me, there were some things I was like, all right, that's cool. And then when one night, 2 a.m., I think, we're working on our projects in architecture school, he's telling me about how the word was written in the stars. And that's one of the things God did for us. And I thought, man, if he did that, all right, Dean, you got my attention. That's what did it for me, that the word was written in the stars. And it's funny, the little things or the whatever it is, the unique things that get us to really believe the word and to start believing what's humanly and by the senses impossible, you know. But it is possible, because with God, all things are possible. But remember who we're dealing with. Thy wonderful works which thou hast done, verse 5 again, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up. Like, you can't even number how much he loves us, what he thinks about us, how much he cares for us. I love that a couple of you went to 1 Peter 5:7. His love for us is deep. I mean, there's no other way to say it. And when you really believe that, that's a great thing that you'll never forget for the rest of your life. They cannot be reckoned up. You can't even number how many things God just blesses you with. And man, that's where we have to fixate our minds and our hearts on. You know, not the bad stuff. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Well, there it is. I was saying it. But just enjoy God. Go to Luke 4. I was going to do it. I asked a couple people. We were going to do like a demonstration. But I thought, you know what? Let's just read the word and let God show you while we're reading the word, okay? Instead of me having people demonstrate this. But this is a tremendous, tremendous record. Jesus Christ, pretty much shortly after he opened his ministry publicly, You know, have you ever been challenged when you decided to believe God? Or to, you know, whether it's speaking the word to your friends or to your coworkers, or and you get laughed at, or just there's other challenges, you know, maybe it's not your friends. When you decide, I'm gonna believe the word, and then all of a sudden you're like, why did I do this? I feel like I have more trouble. Well, you just stand. You just keep, because you know what? God's going to honor you, and you're going to always come out on top. You will. God's going to back you up. He never will fail us. But here in verse 16 of Luke 4, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And by the way, Jesus Christ did study the word. He did. He was taught it by his parents growing up. And here he was about 30. So you can imagine he had a lot of years there where he was packing it in, right? So he came and right at the point where he needed to be. He was sharp. He was sharp. He was a man, but he was sharp with the word. You know, like I tell my fellowship sometimes, he wasn't God Jr. You know, he wasn't God, right? He wasn't like, oh yeah, yeah. No, he worked the word. You know, he studied the word. He got to know his father, and in turn, he got to know himself. And that's the same as us. The more you get into God, the more you'll understand how God works with you. Anyway, back to 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel of the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And bruised here means like enslaved, one of the meanings. Man, one of my, and I'm sure a lot of you are the same way, we love when people get delivered. You should love it. I do. I love, somebody asked me recently, why do you do what you do? One of the reasons is because I love to see people delivered and to help them get to the point where they see God and they get delivered, they get healed, they get free of all the chains that hold them back. You know, that's a great way to live. And God will put you in those opportunities to help people. And in turn, somehow God winds up helping you incredibly, like beyond the senses, beyond what you could expect. So this whole thing is, with God, all things are possible, okay? So verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And everybody was like, oh, this is so great. Not really, if you read on. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Already tagging him, labeling him. I've seen his Instagram. He's like this, or she's like this. Oh, yeah? Well, God looks on the heart. We heard that. And he said unto them, verse 23, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever ye have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. You know, a lot of things going on there, but I want to keep going. But I tell you of a truth, many widows here in Israel in the days of Elias, and that's really Elijah, which Alexa shared on today, which is great. That's what this is referring to. When heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And how God worked. And here he is speaking of that record, you know. And then he goes on, I want to pick it up in verse 28. And all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were so blessed. They were just like, you're the best, Jesus. No, they got pissed because he was in their face with the word of God. Because in that moment, he had to do what he had to do. And sometimes, like somebody shared earlier, I don't know if it was you, Jesse, or Patty, but sometimes you do have to say, hey, you're full of it, right? and say, look, this is what the word says. It's not about personalities. It's about this is what the word says. And he was telling them, like it is. And they got pissed. And look at this. Pay attention. This is where I want you to pay attention. Because I almost think when I first realized this, what it really says, the meanings, I go, what? This was Jesus Christ. How could they do this? We'll read. Verse 29. After they were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And thrust, here's my geek session right here. Thrust means to cast out, drive out, send out with the notion of violence. Their intent, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, was not good, if you could read. Thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built. Now, something else I want you to picture, it's not like they had an ATV to put him on or in a minivan or something or a car. So think about the time. Think about that they took him and they led him to this brow of the hill, which means the prominence of a mountain. And you know what they were going to do? They were going to pray together. Nope. That they might cast him down headlong. If you throw anybody or anything off the cliff or a mountain, guess what happens? Usually they die or pretty bad injury, you know? I love those, what do they call those with the, now they dive? Yeah. What are those things? What? Wingsuits. I love watching those guys, like the Red Bull events and all that. I do. But they brought him and they had ill intent. And then you go, okay, well, this is a nice story. No, this is life, boys and girls and men and women. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just, you know, I'm being silly. This is life. Sometimes it may not be where you're physically dragged to a brow of the hill, but sometimes the adversary presses on you, doesn't he? Right? Tries to tempt you with things. Well, those are the times we just got to go, God, please help. And even though it doesn't say it here, Jesus Christ has such a great fellowship with his Father God. You know? In verse 30, let's look at it. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum. Wait, what? Back up. Passing through. You know what it means? He passed through them. How does that happen? I don't know. It does not say. But the next verse, 31, what is it saying? Came down to Capernaum. He wasn't dead. He went down and he continued moving the word. You just keep standing and you keep moving. And I don't know what God does sometimes, and you don't have to know. It's like Isaiah 55, whereas his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than, you know what I mean? Jesus Christ passed through the midst of them. That's it. It's all it says. It doesn't say how it happened, but you know what it does say? That it did happen, because the next verse is indicative that he kept moving the word. He went on to Capernaum. And man, you just got to remember stuff like this, that God is able to do above and beyond what you expect or think in your life, just like Jesus Christ. You know, I know he loved the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten son. Well, are you sons of God and daughters of God? Absolutely. Don't you think his love for you is the same? Yes, it is. So when you're in situations like that, and again, it may not be at the brow of the hill, but where you're thronged and you're pushed, man, you just remember God's ability, not your senses, God's ability, because with God, all things are possible. 1 Corinthians 10. All of us have had opposition. You think Jesus Christ had a couple? Yeah. But he also had all those people who just were disciples and were at his feet learning the word. You know, just like you even being here, a few of you guys almost didn't come because of one thing or another. But it's great you did. You just bunkered down. You said, I'm going. I know at least two people that did that. And I'm sure there's more. I like the quiet people, too, that don't share. Well, you know what I mean. It's like, I know there's more than two people is my point. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And this is such a great verse to remember in times like Jesus Christ passing through the midst of them, okay? There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. You know, anytime you're going through something, think about this verse. And if you really think it through, you're able to handle it with God. That's the key, with God. Not by your ways, not by your senses, not by your emotions, not by your own heart, which the heart is deceitful above all things, you know, if you let it run away. But you got to do the stuff that Patrick shared. But God will not let you suffer to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He'll show you the escape hatch. He'll make sure you're able to bear it. Because sometimes it is that we have, you know, you sometimes go through things because we live in a world that's run by the adversary. That's the reason. God's not like testing you because that's religious crap. That's not true. But there is an adversary who opposes us many times. And you might think, well, all Albert's sharing tonight is opposition, thronged, and bad stuff. No, this is just life. But remember that with God, all things are possible. You've got to remember that. So think of this verse when you're going through something emotional. Let's talk about emotions. We all go through it. I've been going through a bunch of emotional stuff. And then I remember this verse and I go, oh, God, you know what? With you, I'm able to bear it. I'm able to get through this. Help me, Lord. And that's sometimes that's all you got to say. And God will level mountains. He'll dig the valleys to make it plain so you could just walk right in like a happy, joyful son of God or daughter of God. God makes ways. He'll give you the escape hatch. And that escape hatch doesn't mean you don't face situation, but it just means He figures out how to get out of it. He figures out how you go through it. Pass through the midst of those things. God figured it out for Jesus Christ. I don't know. He could have just, and this is where I wanted to demonstrate, but I was like, no, we can't do it. It could have been like where it was like all of a sudden He would go through the rows right here and go and leave and go to the pavilion. You know what I mean? That's the mind picture. God wants us to picture these things. Yeah. Go to Isaiah 38. Oh, man, I forgot my sundial. Oh, well. Go to 2 Kings 20 instead. So I brought a sundial. I'll show it to you guys. I guess I'll bring it here tomorrow or something. I have it in my room. But this record is awesome. 2 Kings 20. Yeah, you trust God with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, for He shall what? Direct your path. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And another proverb I really love, we're not going to go there, but I'm just reading it, is Dean shared it with me many years ago, Proverbs 28, 1. You know, the wicked flee where no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You be bold. That doesn't mean you have to be super loud, but doesn't mean maybe you do. But it could be a quiet boldness, but just that you are bold, that you take a stand, that you believe God's word. That's what God honors, you know? And not all of us are the same. Thank God. That's really good. But here, 2 Kings 20. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord. Whenever you read Thus saith the Lord, this is revelation. This is it. This is whatever the prophet's going to say, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to come to pass. And I'm cracking up because I love this record again. I'm sorry. Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. What? That's like a little bit of a WTF. Like, I love you, blah, blah, blah. No. Get your house in order, you're going to die. And you're not going to live. He kind of repeats it twice. Then he turned his, and this is Hezekiah, he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass. Now, one thing I will tell you, it's a beautiful meaning here, verse 2 and 3. When you turn to the wall, you just pretty much like pour your heart to God. That's kind of a simple background meaning to that. When Hezekiah turned his face or turned his body to the wall, his face to the wall, it just meant like great lamentation, like where he was just pouring out to God. And man, that's what God wants. You know, and there's so many things in this record, but one of the things is, man, our prayers can change situations. Do you realize that? Our prayers can change situations. You know, so don't ever forget that. God listens. What was the revelation? You're going to die. And he said it twice. You're not going to live, you're going to die. And it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, and again, you got to picture this stuff. So in the east, they used to have buildings where you had a courtyard, you know, similar to like Arizona, places where it's arid and dry like that, so air movement and all that stuff. Sorry to get architectural, apologize. But anyway, but just get the mind picture. So he was already going out into the court, right? And God said, hold up, buddy. Turn again, verse 5, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. That is a stark opposite contrast from you're not going to live and you're going to die. I'm going to heal you. On the third day, thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. What changed, everybody? What changed? Anybody? The revelation changed. You know, sometimes if circumstances change, revelation may change. Remember that. If circumstances change, revelation. And then there's other records where it doesn't change, by the way. Sidebar. But in this case, it did change. And that's so awesome. I will heal thee on the third day that thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add to thee 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. So not only am I giving you 15 years, but I'm going to deliver you from the unbelievers. So this is God at work over and over and over. Super duper adds on when he answers a prayer. It's like, and by the way, and by the way, and by the way, and by the way, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And I will defend the city of mine own for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took it, laid on the boil. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And I want to just pause here for a second because there's a great lesson. In the Old Testament, many times, and in this case, they needed signs to believe. There are times it does happen. Now, could they believe without those signs? Absolutely. There's records in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in our administration, we don't need a sign. You know what the sign is? Born again. We got spirit. We just believe the word. A different change from that administration to now. Remember that. But here, Hezekiah says, what's the sign? What's the sign that God's going to do this? And this is in this record, that was the need, and God honored it. Verse 9, and Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that thou hast spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Now, thank you, Jesse. My wife, my beautiful wife, who's not here, obviously, the parallel record, Isaiah 38:8. She got me this as a gift years ago. And it has Isaiah 38:8, again, is the parallel record to what we're reading in 2 Kings. But this is a sundial. It's on my desk. You know how a sundial works, everybody, or no? You know how it works, Thaddeus? All right, so here's west. I'm reversing. I have to reverse here. So if you're looking at kind of like the way the sun rises, here's east, your view, right? Here's west. The sun rises where? Hint, hint, east. And the way it goes up, and then comes back down the west, sets in the west, like California, right? It sets in where Thaddeus is from. So what it does is it casts a shadow, and they could tell what time it is during the day. So when the sun is here, it's afternoon because it's like 4 p.m. right here. You can look at this after. But if the sun is rising here and it's early, it's like the shadow is going to cast right about here, right? So this is a old school way of telling what time it is during the day, the sundial. And what Isaiah says is, okay, do you want it to go back or do you want it to go forward? And Hezekiah answers in verse 10, it is a light thing that the shadow to go down 10 degrees, meaning like to go forward. So it already does that. You know what I mean? It goes east to west, right? Go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. Backwards. So Hezekiah is saying, okay, I have a choice here. Let's see what God can do to show me that it goes backwards. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. And basically, what God did is, think of it. It went like, I don't know what time it was, but then, boop, 10 degrees back. That does not happen. The way God set up the whole universe, it does not happen. But it happened. With God, all things are possible. Never limit God. Never limit God and his ability and what he can do for you and me. Go to Joshua. Here's another sun one. Fun in the sun. Joshua 10. I get chills when I read the word like this, honestly. I'm not just saying that because I'm up here. It should be life to us. It should be real. And it is. Because really, it's not just these nice stories that happen in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament and Acts, which we'll read one. These are things that we could learn from and that we could see in our life just the same. It may not be the sun. It may be something else. It may not be the cloud that covers, well, you know, Israel. It may not, you know, you get the picture. It'll be maybe a different form, but it'll be just like what they saw in the Word and what they saw when they believed God. You can do the same. God hasn't changed, somebody shared. Joshua 10. Now it came to pass when the king of Jerusalem had heard now Joshua had taken Ai. See, it was Ai. It was in the Word already. See? God is always ahead of everything in the world, by the way. I guess his name is I. We'll call him Ai for now. The word is fun. And had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king. So he had done to Ai. Oh, it was a she. Oh, it's a she. It's Siri. No. And how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities. And because it was greater than Ai, Siri, no. And all the men therefore were mighty. Wherefore, that guy, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto, you know, I'm sorry, I'm going to skip these names because I'll just get tripped up. I know them, but verse 4, come up to me and help me that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lashik was in here too. The king of Eglon went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants, come up, come up to us quickly. You know, come help us and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites, all those unbelievers who, by the way, the Amorites were a badass army. They were like badass. That dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not. Man, let me tell you, those three words, not just for Joshua, but for you and me, when we go into life situations, emotional, physical, or even maybe spiritual, fear not. Many times it comes down to just do not fear. Go in with all your balls, even you women, with the balls, with the believing in God that all you got, and God will do a lot. With the little mustard seed like Dean shared the other night, he'll do a lot with that little bit of believing. But it's not little, because when God sees that you're believing, man, and sometimes you have to fight that fear. Sometimes it is emotional. Sometimes it seems like it's like overpowering. You know what I mean? And I don't mean that in a weird sense. I mean, it feels like it's bigger than what you can, you know, push your mind and steer your mind to. But you just make sure you do not fear. You just decide, do not fear. And man, you'll go in a situation handling, and you'll come out like, I don't know, victorious. Fear them not, he told Joshua. And Joshua was a tremendous man of God. And God's telling him, fear not. Maybe, just maybe, there was a little fear there. Maybe, because it's indicative, because he told them, fear them not. Don't be afraid of those badasses. I got you. God is telling them, I got you, baby. For I have delivered them into... Did he deliver them yet? But that was the promise. He didn't yet. He didn't deliver them yet, but he told them, I've delivered. And so many times God puts in the past what has not happened yet. Tremendous. That's who we're dealing with. We're dealing with God. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them, and that means confused them, before Israel. You know, the enemy, they were like, wait, what? Where are we going? What did we do? Wait, they were confused. And slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to that place, and so on and so forth. And it came to pass as they fled, verse 11, before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah. Great stones of heaven. I do not know what that is, but it's great stones of heaven. God cast them out. Man, God is able to make us victorious in any situation. How he does it does not matter. That he does it is what matters, and that's where we got to fix our minds. Great stones. I don't know what that means. It just means great stones from heaven. Verse 12, let's skip down there. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, and this is Joshua by his prayer, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of that place. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. So remember I just showed you guys this and how the sun moves? Watch the sun tomorrow. And it just stopped for a whole day so they could wipe out the unbelievers, so they could win in this battle. The sun stood still. That doesn't happen. But with God, it does. And verse 14, and this is awesome. I love that God puts stuff like this in there so we could see. He emphasized it. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. God fights our battles. Go to Ephesians 6 for a second here. Remember that. Remember that. I also love how in Exodus, if I'm remembering right, where God just tells him, be still. Know that I am God, that he's going to take care of it, you know? Go to Ephesians 6:10. Hold on a sec. I want to check something real quick. Yeah, what I just said, Exodus 4. You don't have to go there. Exodus 14:14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. That's, it kind of means like, in verse 13, you stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. So, Ephesians 6. Now, this is why I wore my shirt. No, actually, I changed because this is more comfortable. But, apropos, yo. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of whose might? His might. His might. His mighty power. So, when we walk about our days, when we're just walking in the light as he is the light, remember, it's not your power, it's God's power. It's God in Christ in you. And man, when you have that mindset, when you have that confidence, who knows what's going to happen that day? You know, talk about sun going back, sun standing still, passing through the midst. Just a little recap before we keep moving. Who knows what God's going to do? But right there, in our administration, bring it home, bring it home. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, and you'll need it, as Dr. Wells says. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or methods of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, this battle is spiritual, folks. But with God, all things are possible. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind as you put on the word and do the word. 2 Kings. We'll look at a couple more things and then we'll wrap it up. 2 Kings. You know, this word of God should be life to you. And you know what? It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. It doesn't. You know, you believe God, God's going to honor that. God's going to help you understand his word. That's another thing. Man, a great desire of ours should be that we understand God's word better and bigger, or so I could apply it in my life, so I could understand it, so I could help people. All the above. And that's a great, great desire. 2 Kings 6. Did I say 6? 2 Kings 6. So Jesse shared the latter part of this record, which is tremendous. Another one I love where, you know, there are more with us than there are with them. And don't kid yourself. That's how God works in your life too. You know, I could tell you a couple stories right off the bat of believers we know where angels appeared and helped them from a disaster. One was a girl who did fell labors many years ago, driving back from work from Jersey City to Milltown, spun out of control on the New Jersey Turnpike. And you know what? They don't go 5 miles an hour. It was like 60, 70. And all of a sudden, she came to herself, two men running beside her. How does that happen? People, what's the fastest speed man has clocked? Nathaniel, any of you guys who are buff, what is it? What is it?
In the 20s.
Yeah, this is like try 50, 60, 70 miles an hour. Men don't run at that miles an hour. Another guy that, a leader that we know, fixing his car, and there's a guy walking around him. He's like, what? You know, they don't have wings if they ever happen in your life. They don't. Just so you know. Spoiler alert. And then he's like, he got up from under his car. He's like, well, can I help you? And the guy goes, oh, blah, 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 blah. He says something and then walks away. And all of a sudden, the antifreeze just gushes out, bottoms out from his car. If he was under that, he would have been burned. And who even knows what would have happened in his face? Antifreeze. It's not good if it gets in your face. Those are real in our life occurrences of God covering. So those are just two that I thought right off the bat. With God, all things are possible, folks. You just stand, you just believe, you just stay in there and let God go to work. Here's a funny one, 2 Kings 6. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elijah, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. You know, it's too small. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, meaning they were going to get wood, and they were going to pretty much like build an addition on this dwelling. Verse 3, and one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with the servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down the wood, but as one was felling a beam, meaning like they were chopping it down, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried. By the way, they didn't have, what do you call those? No, the chainsaws. They didn't have any, so they had axe head, you know, axes, manual labor, you know, all that stuff. The axe head fell in the water. Not a big deal. Just go to Home Depot, get another one, right? But there's a beautiful Orientalism here. If you borrowed something, it's like you protect it with your life. So it was a cultural meaning here. It was a big deal that axe head was lost in the water. You know, and I just love how God puts stuff like this in the Word. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell in the water, and he cried, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place, he cut down the stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Meaning, he said, okay, where is it? And the guy goes, right here, you know, discombobulated. Put it in, and it floated. He got it. That doesn't just happen without God. You know what I mean? Go to Daniel. No, I'm sorry, Acts 12. One more record and one more verse, and we'll end it. Acts 12. If you ever want to read a couple records on your own, Daniel 6 is a tremendous record. We're not going to have time to go in it, but that's Daniel in the lion's den. It's such a great record. You know, Daniel, despite what he was kind of like cornered or set up, that's a better word, yet he still prayed, despite what the law said, and he still believed God. And then the king actually wound up honoring him, you know. Anyway, you got to read it on your own. We don't have time. But Acts 12. Let me get back here. Acts 12. And about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And that really does mean killed, by the way. This was a believer. And because this dude, Herod, saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. You know, the world is just so corrupt and so screwed up. And sometimes people do stuff for the wrong motives, to get attention or to get voted or to stay in office or whatever. Don't pay attention to that. Pay attention to God. Verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter or Passover, that's really Passover, to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But what? Prayer. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Peter was sleeping. He must have been calm. He must have been peaceful. He was sleeping. You know, and he was in prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And the chains fell off him. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. A lot of instruction there. He's probably, Peter's like, what? He kicked, yep. You ever get up and you're like half asleep? What is even going on? It's probably how Peter was. And he went out and followed him, wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel. See, he was like, he thought this was a vision. He thought this was like some kind of dream. What is even going on? But yet he's following the angel. And angels are sent for two reasons, to deliver a message or to help God's people, pretty much. And in this case, help God's people. In the two modern day events, they help God's people. Verse 10, and when they were past the first and second ward, they came, man, they had them deep. Verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord, who? My strength? No, that the Lord has sent his angel, hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod. And now I want to go to Colossians 1:27. I want to bring it home. Because, man, how God works with all these people and worked with all these people, he could work with you. And here's the basic foundational verse to remember and to just staple your mind to right here. You want to forget all this other stuff? That's fine. I don't mean the word. I mean like if you forget a pen or a notebook or whatever, just don't ever forget this. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you everywhere you go, every second you live, every breath you take. It's God in Christ in you. And with God, all things are possible 24/7 when you walk in the light as he is the light. So that's what I wanted to share. So thank you.